Chapter 24. They found a minivan with a retracting rear seat and enough of a charge to get them halfway into any adjacent state. There was an old-fashioned Homburg in the back, suggesting whoever had owned the vehicle also had a child in the preteen to teenage range. The only people who went around in those things were kids, those living the mummer subculture. When they found it, Dora looked it over and dusted the brim with her forearm, then passed it to Giles.
"Put that on."
He turned it over in his hands and shook his head. "I'm not young enough to pull it off."
"Sure you are. You have the body of a young boy. Put it on and no one will look at your face."
"I'd rather not. Giles, I'm not your chauffeur. You're riding up front with me, and if you're going to do that, we need something to make you look a little less you. Something you can pull down if someone passes by looking in the window." He put it on.
"A handsome addition, Giles.
It's tight." "Wear it in the city," Dora said. "When we find open road, you'll throw it on the dash." They left the garage in a slow roll, stiff-muscled, hands clenched, teeth clamped. Every passing car an alarm, every pedestrian on the brink of pointing, of calling out. It never happened. The world around them was quiet, and people went on with their day and the usual distraction.
"Giles, can you still see Sigma's world?" Dora asked.
He startled softly. It was becoming a surprise to be reminded of it, and it alarmed him how quickly the experience was becoming common. He had stopped feeling their thickness beneath his eyelids long ago.
"Yes. Can you see through to the crash?"
He looked around a while until he found it. A general thickening of green in the distance, somewhere through layers of buildings. He tried to find something that looked like a wrecked car or a tow truck, perhaps an ambulance. But the lines all globbed together, and he could not focus enough on a single thing so that a detail tag would pop.
"Sigma, can you tone it down a bit? If you can, just give me the street where the wreck happened."
"Try this."
"Yes, that's good, thank you." "Okay, I see two fire trucks, a few ambulances, a whole mess of police up at the intersection."
"Yeah, there they are. A whole mess of police."
"What are they doing?"
"Just the police, please, Sigma."
Looks like they're milling around."
"Doing what?"
"I can't tell. I don't actually see people, Dora. They're just basic outlines. If I look directly at one long enough, a little box pops up with a name, address, and so on. Maybe they're collecting witness reports?"
"What the hell would they do that for?" Dora asked. "Why wouldn't they just pull your little guardian feed?"
Giles could only shrug. He did not know what standard police procedure looked like in any case.
He continued to watch the activity as it grew farther away, as their own new vehicle glided up the street, taking them toward the freeway, he presumed. He focused on one of the outlines until a contact card popped, then practiced holding the information in place after he lost its owner. It was getting easier to do the more he played around with it. He was forced to admit the controls were impressive. Intuitive.
"Sigma?"
"Yes, Giles."
"There's a ton of information shown when I hover on different people. I'm assuming that's all lens data?"
"Correct. All of it is lens data pulled from the cloud."
"Why did our attacker have none?"
"I'm looking at many people right now. I'm seeing full names, surnames, in some cases maiden names and aliases. I see addresses, phone numbers, contact lists. Just a second ago, I realized there was a tab on the overlay, and when I pulled it forward, I was shown a list of someone's last 20 purchases."
"Much of that data is privileged."
"Yes, I understand that, but our attacker had none of it. There was only a small rectangle with that name, Bellin. No last name. I've never heard a name like that before."
"It is of Spanish origin," Dora said absently.
They heard Sigma blat from the rear of the van.
"Also Greek."
"Fine, fine, it doesn't matter," Giles said, waving a hand. "So many words, so many names are traded around in that part of the world, so much so that names mean nothing anymore. They mean nothing. And then even when they mean something, it usually ends up making them mean even less. Earlier when I called Reggie, he thought I was someone named Corbin. So these lenses came off a Corbin, I guess. Now the guy chasing us has gone from a Corbin to a Bellin."
"You were sure he was dead?" Dora said.
"And you saw him as clearly as I did in that sedan. He's got some sort of replacement lenses. I didn't think you could get them that easily. Once, many years ago, there were things called burner phones."
"Yes, they still have them down south," Dora nodded. "Celulares de prepagos."
I wonder if someone's found a way to make, burner lenses. I can't imagine how, but... You know?
Why wouldn't they be able to? Dora asked.
Giles blew a gust of air through his mouth as he thought about it.
Well, maybe you could do it if you took them off the cloud, but it would be pointless. Once you reconnected, that would be it.
Why?
Because you'd be detected, and they'd shut you down.
Dora rolled her eyes and shook her head.
There are ways to get around such things.
Oh? What are they?
I don't know what they are. I know only they're there. There's always a way.
No, Giles said in a tired voice. It's all run by the SCs in the end. There's no getting around them.
She snorted.
How is it I know more than you? I thought you did these things for a living.
No one gets around the SCs, he repeated.
Dora shook her head.
No wonder so many of you are crazy. You assume you've been beaten before fighting.
He had become used to her attitude, and it no longer bothered him. It was a natural way to be, to assume all things familiar were better. She spoke of the craziness in his country, believed in their craziness as the product of a simple equation, but he also knew she came from a place where conversations opened with threats, where you threatened violence as payment for sexual assault. She came from a world where the police could be purchased and repurchased openly, as if an auction were held in the middle of the street, and they would say whatever words had been placed in their mouths by the highest bidder, would keep on saying those words until someone with more money came along and gave them new words.
I don't think it's a matter of losing a fight, he said, watching pedestrians scroll by on the sidewalk. He idly pulled interesting details as they flitted through his vision.
He sensed a perversion taking hold in his mind, grabbing onto soft places as he discovered the hidden behaviors of these strangers. He discovered with a bit of effort that he could see their sexual habits if he looked in the right direction.
I think it's more like building a thing that got away from us, as we always do.
You can't undiscover a secret. Trying to cover up a thing you've uncovered is just vanity. It's vanity to even try. You'd cover it up, but there it would still be waiting, and you'd know it's there. And after a while, you'd bring it out again. It becomes easier to just accept the new thing and learn to live around it.
He looked at her and saw her face was twisted in some form of confusion or disgust.
It wasn't a thing you discovered, Giles. You built the damn thing, all of you. You couldn't see it as you were building it?
It is sometimes very hard to see it all at once.
Bullshit. You pull your mind back, pull it high up so you can see everything, and then you look at it. You see how it's playing out, and if it doesn't look any good, you stop it, as any sane person would do.
The thing you're describing is not as easy as you suggest, Giles said.
If you say so.
He saw the freeway on-ramp in the distance, moving toward them like a great concrete decision, and he knew the decision must now be made.
Which way do we go? He asked.
Out of town, first of all. You said that place you need to get to is out in New York?
Yes.
Well, then I guess we'll head east.
Due east. Understood. Giles winced.
That's a hell of a drive. You think we can make it all the way in a stolen car?
Hell no.
But we can't make it out of here on foot, and you sure as shit can't fly anywhere. You go anywhere within 1,000 yards of an airport, and I bet they come piling down on you like an avalanche. I bet you look at an airport funny, even, and they snatch you up.
He looked down at his feet and took a deep breath. That sick feeling was back again.
You're in pretty deep shit, Giles.
Don't I know it?
I'm okay. I can pretty much go poof any time I need to. They don't know who I am. But you're in it pretty deep.
Why don't you?
It's not that I don't appreciate how you've saved me. Trust me, I'm aware you saved me today, but why?
You could skip across the border and head back any time.
It can't be the life of opportunity up here that's keeping you.
No, she said.
Her voice was small and far away.
Well, I don't know, it's like... I don't know why it had to be your house and not the one next to it. I don't know why I stayed there after I knew you didn't have anything worth pinching. It's like that for me sometimes. Sometimes I do a thing and I don't even know why.
Huh. It must be intuition.
Shut up, she said, and slapped him on the arm. It was a playful slap that made him smile. So, east then, Giles sighed. He settled back into the seat. How far can we get in this heap?
The charge in this vehicle is sufficient to take us halfway into the next state.
And then I guess we steal another?
No, Dora said. Too much risk. I don't know what the hell happened today, but we can't keep relying on your people to be asleep at the switch. We'll take a train.
A train? That's as bad as a plane or a bus. We can't use my vid for passage, you don't even have one, and I have to imagine Sigma's been reported as stolen property by now.
I have not.
Giles glanced into the back of the van.
You haven't?
No.
He faced front.
Oh. But that's nuts.
The cost to run you alone, the Pinkerton Agency are familiar with this sort of thing, Giles.
Inside his mind, he heard the words, "It's fine. It's all fine," and they were warm and good. He decided to let it go and trust.
We'll take a freight train, Dora said.
A freight train, he laughed. The laughter tore through into a coughing fit, and he was several moments recovering.
Now who's crazy?
Yes, of course, she smirked. For you, all systems are impenetrable. I understand, and I don't hold it against you. She reached across the center console and patted his hand like he was a sweet old man. He thought he should have been offended at the gesture, but it felt so true that he forgot how to take offense. He forgot how to do many things under that touch, and when she squeezed his hand, he looked at her golden eyes, her tight-lidded almond eyes, and at her smile, and at the smoothness of her brown skin. He wondered if she ever had the chance to love someone instead of always having to defend herself from people, if there had ever been a time when defense was unnecessary. She could have been 14 or 24 easily, one way or the other. And he thought he would love to see her have the chance to look at a young man the way Annalise had once looked at him. The way she smiled at him, and the way she had squeezed his hand, briefly, before returning to her armrest. And the honesty that hid just behind the point of her chin and under the small wrinkle between her eyebrows told him she had it coming. He figured she must have had that chance coming her whole life, and figured also that the universe sometimes had a way of overlooking debts. Sometimes the universe accumulated debts to people, he thought, whether it was rational or not. Sometimes enough things happened to a person that a debt stacked up in their favor. But the universe was cold and unscrupulous. Sometimes the universe needed help remembering. She was not looking at him anymore, but he continued to look at her, at the gold in her hair and her eyes, and at the newness of her skin, and at the honesty that hid behind the small, dark corners. He thought he would help the universe to remember her chance.